You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, this was in the news last week, I believe. Fordham University, which you may not know, is actually, at least ostensibly, a Roman Catholic university. Fordham had a faculty member. In fact, it was the chairman of the theology department there at Fordham who married his same-sex partner. And Fordham, as kind of a corporate entity, gave its blessing to this same-sex marriage. A Catholic university giving its blessing to a faculty member who married his same-sex partner. How does this happen? In what sense is Fordham Catholic anymore when that happens and runs afoul of clear Roman Catholic teaching? Joining us to discuss this, Bob Laherty's vice president of the Cardinal Newman Society based in Manassas, Virginia. Bob, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's a pleasure to be with you.
What should Fordham University have done when the chair of its theology department decided to marry his same-sex partner?
Well, the short answer is should have fired them. Simple as that. They should have had, now if they really knew what they were doing, they should have had policies in place that would prohibit on the faculty, let alone a leadership position in the school. They should have had positions in place such that if that person, through their public actions, violated the teachings of the Catholic Church, that would immediately remove them from the position. That's what should have happened, and apparently it didn't. They seem to think that this is now the norm in the United States, so they could just allow that to go on. So short answer is should have fired them, and that's what a lot of Christian and Catholic school high schools around the country are doing when they have individual turning up in that same situation.
What response should come from the Roman Catholic hierarchy, for lack of a better word, when Fordham does something like this?
Well, they should have. We haven't been tracking the hierarchy on that, but in several of the other cases, there's been a very strong objection to that by the local bishop. I'm not sure what's happened with Fordham, but I know that this happened in other situations where schools have taken strong stances like that, and the bishop has really come out strongly opposed to it. That's what should be done, but, you know, with human nature, you never know how things turn out.
A couple of questions here regarding kind of the policy of this. Is it expected or perhaps even required that a university associated with a Roman Catholic diocese conform its policies? Because here's a question where whether Fordham has a policy on this or not. Conform its policies to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church.
That's the big issue. That is the big issue, and that's one of the big things that we at the Cardinal Newman Society are doing. A lot of these are very technical legal issues. Do you have in your faculty handbook a policy saying that this is prohibited, or is it just some vague statement, or is it not there at all? One of the things that we're doing at the Cardinal Newman Society, especially among the faithful Catholic colleges that we represent in our Newman Guide, is we're making sure that they have these policies in place so that when one of these situations come up, the administration is not stuck in a position where, ooh, we forgot about that situation, and they're going to take us to court and we're going to lose. So we're trying to be proactive, working with very, very good law firms. Alliance Defending Freedom, Beckett Fund are doing a lot of great work in helping us so that we can craft language in order to make sure that these schools have the policies in place in order to do that. This whole same-sex marriage thing is a new arena, and a lot of times colleges 5, 6, 7 years ago never really thought of it. And but they have to put that into their handbooks and their policy manuals and their teaching contracts and everything like that and enforce it. Being a Christian today is not the norm. It's an exception. We have to be better than everybody else. We just can't accept normality and the rule of law. Say, well, the law says this, so we're going to have to do that. We have to be Christ-like. Christ was so different. And we have to be Christ-like. And sometimes that's taken decisions that are tough.
Do many Roman Catholic universities, certainly not all of them in the United States, but many in the United States, do they essentially want to have it both ways? They want to have the luster of an association with the world's largest confession of faith, Roman Catholic Church, and all that goes along with that, while picking and choosing, kind of in a cafeteria Catholic manner, what that association actually means for how they conduct their business and what they teach.
Absolutely. The Catholic Church came out with a Vatican document called Ex Corde Ecclesiae about 25 years ago, which basically set the norms for teaching religion in Catholic institutions. And it was very, very strict. Basically, in order to teach religion in a Catholic institution, you have to have the explicit approval of the bishop, called a mandatum. Right about that same time, several universities, Notre Dame, Georgetown, went to a place called, it was called the Land O'Lakes Conference up in Michigan, and there were several of them that met together, and they decided that, you know, we're a university. We're not tied to the church. So academic freedom could allow us to do whatever we want. And this was the start of the trend, the reversal trend, away from the original university, which, you know, the original universities back in the medieval times and even in early America times were tied to a religious congregant, and they were faithfully following that. And then, as you just said, as they become more academic, more secular, they sort of want their cake and eat it too, which is not the intent of the Catholic University, as Cardinal John Henry Newman wrote about. It's about being different. That's what Catholic universities should be today.
So how did they get to this point, other than the incident that you just outlined for us there? How, over the long haul, have Catholic universities gotten to the point where what they practice and what they teach is sometimes completely at odds with Catholic teaching?
Well, it goes back to this whole idea of academic freedom. It's what is academic freedom? You know, different people think of it different ways. And what does it mean to be Catholic? You know, all I have to do is be baptized, go to communion, and I can call myself Catholic. And so the whole question is, what does it mean to be Catholic? So a lot of these universities are sort of picking and choosing the practices that they want to follow. They're in a secular world. You know, they want to compete for government grants. In order to compete for government grants, you may have to provide abortion and contraception coverage for your individuals that are involved in the grants. And like what's happening today, you have to accept transgender. And so in order to do that, they're opting for the easy out, for the money and for the prestige of the big university, rather than trying to be Christ-like and buckling down and following the teachings of the Catholic Church.
So in the bigger context, especially after the legalization of homosexual marriage by the Supreme Court recently, the pressure, even though they seem to be very willing recipients of the pressure on Catholic universities, those that still want to adhere to policies that conform to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, is going to be, that financial pressure is going to be intense, isn't it?
Tremendous. Tremendous. I was out at a college in California last month. They were having a serious conversation as whether we need to not take Pell Grants anymore, because we're going to have to conform to rules that we may not want to accept. There's Wyoming Catholic College in Wyoming. There's Christendom College in Front Royal. There's a couple others that don't take any government grants at all, any government grants. So thus, they're immune to all this stuff. But it's very hard to do. We meet with the presidents and the general counsels. I'm in constant contact with the general counsels, along with Alliance Defending Freedom lawyers, Beckett lawyers, any other lawyers that are willing to come and help out on how can we be a Thomas More, you know, a St. Thomas More. When More was in England, he wanted to find a way to comply with what the king wanted to do. And, you know, he refused to take the oath. By refusing to take the oath, he took no position on it, and he went as long as he could until they condemned him. And so what we're looking for is find ways that we can comply with these, but not comply with them, because obviously we're not going to have these types of faculty members on our faculty, and it really brings out the question of the morality of faculty members. You know, if one of the lawyers was saying that if we prohibit same-sex marriage, we can't prohibit cohabiting couples living together out of marriage. We can't prohibit divorce and remarried couples living together. So we have to have a consistent value, ethic value throughout. And in a lot of cases, this is making these schools come back and relook at their values, and which is a good. But it's, again, very difficult to do. We're very aware of it. And who knows what's going to come down the line.
How big is the gay agenda on Roman Catholic college campuses today?
It's not large at all. It's not big at all. It's just like any other place. There's a couple activists. People are afraid that it's going to turn into a big thing. So the easiest thing to do is just to comply and let it go, and it's no big deal. But, you know, the gay agenda, I mean, what's the percentage of gays in the United States? Less than 10% or something like that. We have to condemn the sin and not the sinner. So we condemn, you know, we have to take people where they are, but we have to lead them toward Christ, and we have to be able to do that in a kind and compassionate way. It's not that we're throwing all the gays off campus, but we need to have them understand that what they're doing, the sin by participating in an activity which is inherently evil, and that's relations with another person of the same sex, as opposed to having an inclination toward it. We have to be able to show the difference and help the sinner. We need to help the sinner by condemning the sin and not necessarily condemning the person. So it's not a big deal on campus. We have programs on campuses in order to deal with these when they come up, and we'll continue working that way.
The current Pope, Pope Francis, is, you know, the way he's covered in the press is rather uneven. Is he a strong ally for American Catholic bishops who want to see the distinctly Catholic character of the Catholic College and University persist?
Oh, I think matter of fact, I'm going to a conference in Rome in November, and that's one of the big subjects. A lot of the stuff, as you know, as you can read, is being taken out of context. They're just picking and choosing quotes here and there. But he has a very, very strong commitment toward Catholic education, and he's said this several times. And you know, I firmly believe that he truly believes it.
In the long run, what should the American Catholic bishops do about universities like Fordham if they persist in this current direction? What should they do?
I don't know. I'd like to bring them all back. You know, I hate to just throw them out. I'd like to bring them back into the fold. And I think that's what the bishops are continually working to try to do. There's more and more, some of the smaller colleges are really trying to reactivate their Catholic identity. And they were very sincere about it. And of course, you know, after you've put it aside for 25 years and trying to bring it back, it's a little hard to do. But you're getting board trustee members and other people like that that are truly committed to this effort. And I think that the bishops are looking at that from that point of view, too. Let's try to find a way, whether you begin with the president, whether you begin with the campus ministry, you know, whatever element it is, let's find a way to try to bring these colleges and universities back. I think that's, you know, I can't speak for the bishops, but I'm sure that that's what they have to be thinking. I mean, they don't want to throw them out and say, you're not Catholic anymore.
One more question with about 30 seconds. Will this, in the long term, especially in America, mean fewer but more faithful Catholic institutions of higher education, and not only Catholic, but Christian, fewer and more faithful Christian institutions of higher education?
I think it's going to draw a line. Yes. There's the pressure of higher education, whether you're Christian or not Christian right now. And I think it's going to draw a line. And the ones that we're seeing are thriving are the ones that are faithful, because there are so many families that want to send their kids to faithful Catholic universities. And, you know, you're spending $100,000, $200,000 on an education. Why send them to a place where you get the same education you get from a secular public university? Why not send them to a place where they're not going to lose their faith, they're going to gain their faith, they may find a partner for life in marriage, or they may go into ministry and be able to serve others in so many different ways?
Bob Laird is vice president of the Cardinal Newman Society based in Manassas, Virginia. You will find a link to the Cardinal Newman Society under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bob, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Todd, it's a pleasure talking to you. Have a great day. God bless you.
Folks, let me tell you about an institution of higher learning that has maintained its Lutheran identity amidst the onslaught of modernity and postmodernity. It's Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Small classes, attentive faculty, and confessionally Lutheran. Find out more at blc.edu, blc.edu, or call 1-800-944-3066. Bethany Lutheran College, Mankato, Minnesota. When we come back, we'll talk about a federal's appeal court ruling that would require pharmacists to dispense abortifacients. Fred Eckel, president of the Christian Pharmacist Fellowship International, will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity, Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.